Hello, everyone. Welcome to Powering Up. This is a cross-generational conversation about putting our power to work. I'm Ann Doyle, your host and author of Powering Up, How America's Women Achievers Become Leaders. And one of the unique things in my book is that I wrote a chapter on each of the very, very different three generations of aspiring women in the workplace today. My generation is kind of the older generation. I mean, we were those baby boomers, those pioneering interlopers who were often the first women to do what was often thought of as men's jobs. Then after us came a generation, a little smaller generation, actually, the Gen X's. I call them the influential insiders. We were those pioneering, tough interlopers. And then the influential insiders were kind of the next one. They sort of were the, I'm no feminist, but I sure want those jobs those nasty, mean baby boomers were fighting for. And now you have this incredible generation of millennials that I call them the I'll do it my way innovators, who are really just hitting their stride. They're in their mid-30s now and coming out of college. They are the most educated and ambitious generation of women in the history of the world. And they're going to change the world in ways my generation only dreamed of. And right after them on their tail are the Gen Zs. And we have, again, Gen Zs are in high school, the leading edge in high school now, and being born and young. And we have one of these Gen Zs with us today to as a guest. But because I'm so interested in all these different generations and having conversations across generations and also across genders, because men are a very, very important part of this conversation, you know, as our fathers, as our husbands, as our brothers, as our sons, mm-hmm. you know. And so that's why my co-host for this podcast is always a millennial, and most of the time it's my niece, Monica Doyle, who's a 29-year-old, recent college graduate, millennial, who's also very, very passionate about what our topic is today. And that's hockey. Mm-hmm. And that's the incredible growth of girls and women's hockey. And it was Monica who said to me, I mean, I'm a big sports fan, but I'm what they used to call a tomboy because I didn't have a chance to play organized competitive sports the way girls do today. And so, Monica, you said, hey, let's talk hockey. Mm-hmm. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I really wanted to bring, you know, another generation into this. Fiona, who stood out a lot to me.
Who's Fiona?
Fiona is one of my students. Fiona, you want to say hi?
Hi.
Hey. Yeah, Fiona. Well, let's introduce Fiona, right? Yep. We've got Fiona Daniels, who is 7.5 years old. Is that right, Fiona? Yep. And she's going to tell us how old she was when she started falling in love with hockey and when she started playing hockey. And I know the connection here is that Monica is her coach. Mm-hmm. But also we have Fiona's dad here.
Yes.
Rodney Daniels, who's obviously a really important part of this whole story. Yeah. So what made you think this would be an interesting topic, Monica?
Well, I think it mostly happened that day. So Fiona does learn to skate and learn to play. She plays a lot of hockey. And there was one particular day when I got off the ice and you were feeling a little discouraged because it felt like you were the only girl out there. Why were you feeling like that?
Because they were mostly boys and not many girls. Mm-hmm. And some people on my team weren't passing to me. And I felt kind of sad and angry because they weren't passing to me. But I got used to it.
Mm-hmm. And what did Monica do about that when that happened? Did you tell her? She noticed.
He noticed.
Yeah. And so what'd she do about it? Did she help you?
Yes.
Did she encourage you?
Yes.
Did she help you get tough and tell you what to do?
Yes.
What'd she tell you to do about it? when that situation, you know, because those things happen to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you see that happening and when you feel that way, what did she tell you to do about it? Do you want her to explain and then you tell us more?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I usually tell if you're not getting passed to, then go get it. Right? You go in there and get the puck and maybe set the boys up. If the boys aren't passing to you, then you go get the puck. And if you want them to keep passing you, then you set them up. They'll see that you know what you're doing, and they'll start setting you up. And have you noticed how things have changed since that day?
Yes.
With the boys?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Mm-hmm. What did you notice?
I noticed that I wasn't so scared anymore, and I just started getting used to be playing with the boys and started getting to the puck and scoring a little bit. So every single time I play hockey, I feel more confident.
Wow.
To be on the team.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. That is great. You know, I'd like to know, I want to back up and give people a little bit of background about how this sport is starting to explode. But first, I want to know, Fiona, when did you know you liked hockey?
When I was about 4 or 5.
4 or 5?
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
We were at a Red Wings game.
Detroit Red Wings?
Yeah.
Okay, uh-huh.
And I was the most excited about it when it just started.
Oh, my gosh. So you were 4 years old, mm-hmm. and your mom and dad took you to a Detroit Red Wings game.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately, you mm-hmm. liked that game?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you like about it?
People were going fast and bumping into each other. And I like both of those things.
Oh, really? You like to go fast and bump into people. Huh?
She's good at both of those things.
Is she really?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So what do you remember about that, Dad?
I think that my wife and I, the biggest thing was we thought, oh, you know, we're taking this 4-year-old to the Red Wings game. How's this going to go? And, you know, you think about, you know, do we need to entertain her somehow or those kind of things. But it was really phenomenal because out of all of our family members, she was probably the most enthralled in the game. I mean, my wife and I enjoyed watching too, obviously, but as far as the kids go, and even other kids, we were there for like a school function.
Oh, okay.
And it was like school tickets that we had gotten, and so we were able to go, and it was great. But she was just into the game, and she was, period was over, and we had an intermission, and then she was ready for the next one to start. Mm. She wanted to see them going again. So she just had a good time, and I remember my wife and I talking after the game and saying, gosh, you know, it's incredible how much Fee was really into that game. And
and
it kind of started that trigger in her mind because we kind of knew that she loved, you know, she loved being rambunctious and having a good time and going 110% all the time at everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought, well, you know, this is something maybe we need to keep an eye on.
Mm-hmm.
And if it continues to grow, then let's see where it goes. So, but yeah, it was just profound how she just was really into watching the game, kind of asking about it, and just enthralled the whole time.
Wow, you remember that, huh? You remember how you felt?
Yes.
Yeah, right. And you think, wow, this is something I don't know why, it's just in me, right? I just like this. Mm-hmm. And so then what happened in terms of you finding out that you could play that game then?
I felt really excited because I could play it, and I really love hockey. And I love to see people play it. So once I knew, I was like, hey, can I play hockey? Can I play hockey?
Wow. You told that to your mom and dad?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. And, of course, the answer was absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Uh-huh. You bet. We'll find. When did you first see girls playing hockey?
Probably once I was getting into hockey a little bit, and we saw the girls play hockey.
Mm-hmm. Did you see it on TV or did you see it at the arena where you were playing?
On TV.
You saw it on TV. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you remember about that?
that was around the time, you know, the Olympics, the Winter Olympics were going, and the women's hockey team were having a great run, and we were watching every game. She didn't watch necessarily every hockey game, but anytime the USA team was playing, she wanted to watch. And it was it was funny because she would even fight us that she wanted to stay up to watch the game. And if everybody remembers,
because they were in Korea,
those games were like midnight starts and those kind of things. And we were like, "Well, Fiona, you can't watch it. We want you to watch it, but you can't watch it right now. We'll record it or get it on a podcast or the iPad or something, and watch it the next day." And that's, you know, another indication we knew that was really a love for her, because the next day she would ask us for it. She would take like the iPad and the other kids were watching other TV, and she'd go and sit on the couch and she would watch the game.
Aww.
And so she just thought it was really cool. And, you know, what an amazing end to that run.
Right.
Really exciting with shootouts and everything else. Mm-hmm. So, but she really loved it. And that was when she really saw, you know, some great women hockey players playing great hockey. And just for a plug, anyone out there, it was really great hockey. And so please take a look, because if you haven't watched the women's team play, or you know, you only want to watch the men's team play or something, please watch the women's team. They're so fabulous, and it's so exciting to watch.
Yeah, they're incredible. And I mean, incredible skaters, incredible. And they're pretty tough. They're pretty tough out there, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Monica, I know you have a little special feeling in your heart for Fiona immediately. I mean, maybe she reminds you of yourself.
Yeah.
And me too. I can see that, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so tell us a little bit about you in terms of you discovering your love of hockey.
I actually didn't start playing hockey until kind of recently. I didn't start playing on a team until high school, my junior year of high school. I started out figure skating because I thought that's what I was supposed to be doing, because the girls didn't play hockey, they figure skated. So I started out figure skating, and I did at least one or two shows, two figure skating shows.
I went to one of those shows.
Yeah.
I remember it.
It was something.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they were cool.
And my parents always knew that I loved to skate. We always had an ice rink in our backyard. And my dad would skate with me. You know, he would put on his hockey skates and he'd do figure skating moves with me.
And you have a brother, obviously.
I have a brother who always played hockey, travel and everything. And I actually had more fun playing with my brother and his team in our backyard than figure skating. You know, I didn't want to do spins and stuff. I wanted to play hockey. And my dad recognized that. And when I was in high school, I had an opportunity to try out for the girls' team. And I was scared to do it, and I didn't want to go. And my dad made me do it.
Really?
Yes. He said, "You have to go. You don't have to play if you don't want to, but you at least have to go." So he made me go, and I showed up, and the girls were great. Everybody was super nice, and I ended up playing for 2 years. They were state champions the first year I played for them. The next year, it was a whole new team. But, you know, the process of building the team ended up being more rewarding to me even than being the state champions.
Wow.
So
what years were those? I mean, so we're talking and I want to give a little background here about the growth of the incredible growth of the sport.
So I started playing in high school. So I graduated 2008 from high school. And so then I would have been like 2006, 2007, I think, that I started playing for my high school team.
Mm-hmm. So things were starting to evolve. You know, Fiona, you weren't even born yet when this was happening, you know, but it was an important part of the life for you, so that the teams were there for you, right, to play. And that your coach was getting ready, your future coach. But a little bit of background on this is that really, you know, in my book I talk about springboard moments. And springboard moments are really these moments in your life when you're kind of tested, when something happens, and that you pass the test big time. And that springboards you to a higher level. And in terms of the growth of women's hockey, I look at the springboard moments really being the first time that it was an Olympic sport was 1998.
For women,
yeah, thanks. The first time was 1998. And actually, the USA won that gold medal.
Mm-hmm.
In 1998, and but you got to back up a little bit. That the first IIHF, which is the International, what is The IIHF is the
Ice Hockey
International Women's. Ice Hockey Federation. Yeah. Their Women's World Championships, the first time they were held was 1990. And in that year, there were about 6,300 women players registered playing hockey in the United States with them. Do you know what the number is today? Do you have any idea? Rod, did you have any
registered? 6,300 then.
6,300 then, yeah. Gosh. 1990, when this was starting in the United States as a women's sport. Yeah. And I'll tell you the number because I looked it up this morning. It's over 75,000.
That's a lot.
So yeah, we've gone, great. Yeah. And that's the speed that the women's hockey is now one of the fastest growing sports in the world. And so, you know, 1998, the women's team, the American team, won the gold medal. And then after that, every succeeding Olympics, it was Canada.
Yep, Canada.
It was Canada. Like, what the hell? How did those women Americans get this thing? Yeah.
And some heartbreaks in there, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, some heartbreaks. Mm-hmm. And but then they won it again, of course, this year. In 2018. And I want to go back in a minute to talk about the controversy and the fight that led up to that in terms of this incredible team. But Fiona, what do you remember about watching that, you know, the Olympics this year and the women playing and winning that? And maybe just remember how you felt watching them. Did you imagine yourself maybe someday playing in the Olympics?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Right. That's what we want.
Yeah.
and you know what? Those girls who play on that team, they tell the story about being 8 years old and imagining that, or 7 years old, right? Okay. So, Monica, tell me a little bit more about coaching and that you're coaching boys and girls and adults too?
Adults even, yep. I'm coaching all levels. At USA, I usually do hockey mostly, which is where Fiona came in. I think I taught you in hockey 1 and 2, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I taught you hockey 1 and 2, and now she's in hockey 3, which is no small feat because, you know, sometimes you have to repeat a couple times, and she made it all the way up to hockey 3.
And she just passed the hockey 4, I will say.
Oh,
you did?
Yeah, she did.
Really?
You're still in hockey 3. Oh my gosh, she's in right past me.
What skills do you need to pass into hockey 4? What did you have to master?
Stopping.
When that's a big one.
1 foot stops.
Mm-hmm.
Outside foot.
Outside edges.
Yeah, outside edges. Skating backwards. Backwards stops. And I know that there's one more thing, but I think I forgot it.
Crossovers.
Yeah, crossovers.
What's that? What's a crossover?
You have to, like, step over, step back, step over, step back.
Oh, so it's facing. A lot of skating stuff,
yeah.
Huh? Mastering your skating.
Crossovers is where you get your speed.
Yeah.
Wow.
To people who aren't accustomed to hockey, it looks like people are running on the ice when they're doing crossovers because they're stepping their 1 foot over the other.
Yeah. So what was it about Fiona? I know you coach, you know, all different kids and everything. What was it about Fiona?
Well, I mean, her dad said that she's scrappy and she likes to go fast. That's definitely the first thing that everybody noticed. And there's actually one thing that she kind of still needs to do a little bit of work on because she's so good at being scrappy and going fast. What is that, Fiona?
Stopping.
Yeah, we're still working on that a little bit.
Yep, she is great at the scrappy and going fast part. She's still working on getting better at stopping, and she can do it, but she
You like crashing into people, don't you?
Yeah.
Is that
yeah.
it?
Mm-hmm. Well, they crash into you, too. Yeah, she actually came away with a little injury the other day, too.
What happened?
I got a cut, like, right across from here from somebody's skate.
That hurt?
No.
Not bad?
Mm-hmm. No,
did,
not
so
bad.
That then you were all done playing for the day?
Nope.
What happened?
I got a Band-Aid, and I just went back up out there and started playing again.
There you go. Mm-hmm. That's hockey, right?
Well, and Fiona, I'm not sure if you noticed this, but after you got your Band-Aid on and came back out, guess who got picked first for the teams? It was you. You got picked first for the teams. Connor picked you first, remember? Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was about 8 other kids. All of them were boys. Oh, no, Grace was out there, too. So there was one other
Grace.
Little girl. Grace was out there, too, but you got picked first for teams.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I think it's because you came back out after you got cut, because Connor knew you had got cut, and he picked you first, because he knew you were tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the things that it takes to be a hockey player, isn't it? I mean, you you got to be tough, and you got to enjoy being tough, and, you know, and I think an example of that is something I want to talk about in terms of really the fight that women hockey players have led in terms of equity in this sport, because and the whole thing, I mean, there's been a fight for a long time, obviously, in all sports for girls and women to have equal opportunities to play. Title IX was the big thing that began opening that up in 1972, but the fight goes on. And even as recently as last year, it made national attention when, you know, the USA women's hockey team, which, you know, were the defending world champions, really about a month before the championships that were going to be held in Plymouth, Michigan, basically the team that had been negotiating with USA Hockey for about 14 months, trying to get equity in terms of, you know, their travel expenses compared to the men, the hotel accommodations compared to the men, the amount of money that was being put in to develop the sport for girls and all of those pieces. They'd been fighting for a long time and getting nowhere. So girls, they finally basically said they're going to boycott. What do you remember about that, Rodney? Did you follow it?
Yeah, I did. I remember, actually, I remember wishing we could go to some of those games that were in Plymouth when they finally got there, but we were out of town. But I remember remembering listening to it and thinking how unfair it was. I was all for it. I thought that, you know, sometimes you have to take a stand, and I felt like they took the right stand at the right time, personally. Because, I mean, let's look at it. They're champions. They're world champions. They're Olympic champions. They... you know, in the Olympics here, they just won the gold medal as well, and somehow you don't want to give them the same advantages and the same, you know, development track to go and develop the team further for future generations as the men, when, you know, men's hockey is great and the men do a great job, but at the same time, the women are, you know, excelling in a way that is incredible, and I think they deserve, you know, equal treatment. I mean, that's just fair and equal in my mind, and what they should get.
You know, and men's hockey didn't, you know, wasn't born the way it is right now. I mean, that was developed over maybe a century. You know, long time in terms of that sport development. An actual century.
Last year, I think, was the centennial for the NHL. So.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Right, and I remember, you know, that I went to that world championship game, you know, at the arena, and that's where you coach, isn't it? And, and where you play, at that arena in Plymouth, Michigan, where the world championships were held. And but the incredible thing that happened was they did boycott, and they said, we're not going to play. And, of course, what USA Hockey did was they went out and tried to get other women players from clubs and from college teams to basically bust the strike, right?
Yep.
Do you remember that, Monica?
Yeah. My team that I was playing for at the time is actually a league, a women's league in Ann Arbor, and they had posters in our locker rooms that said, now recruiting for the women's team. You know, it was in the locker room for anybody to see. That's how desperate they were. They wanted anybody who was going to come play to play for them, and nobody came and played because we all knew that the world's women were the best of the best and they deserved what they were asking for. So,
and that was really an incredible thing, you know, that the women stuck together, you know, as a tribe and went, no, you know, we are all in this together. And as a result, really just about 10 days before, I think, that the championships began, that USA Hockey finally broke down, I guess, gave in, you know, and they met a number of their gigantic changes in terms of the compensation that they would get, and but also the amount of money that's going to be put into the development of this sport for young girls, mm-hmm. you know, such as this next generation, Fiona, coming up. And I want to ask you, Fiona, what is it that you like about hockey? And come forward a little bit more, okay, so that you bring your chair. There you go. What is it that you like about how hockey makes you feel?
It makes me feel really good about myself, and I like that I can go fast and I really like hockey.
Mm-hmm. What have you learned about yourself? I mean, does it make you feel strong?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me feel very strong.
Makes you feel strong, right?
Against the boys.
Even with the boys sometimes.
Even with the boys, yeah. What do you think are differences between the boys and the girls in terms of what you've noticed? Anything?
Mm-hmm. Most girls are like, hockey is like for most of the boys and like not girls, but they made a girl hockey team because they know that some girls like hockey and like it, and most boys are like, girls can't play hockey, but luckily they can because there's a hockey team for girls.
Are you kidding me? You mean that some boys your mm-hmm. age say girls can't play hockey?
Mm-hmm.
You're kidding.
No.
Did you tell them to put their skates on and give it a try?
Yeah.
With you out there?
Sometimes.
Good.
That is crazy. What do you think about when you hear that? What do you think?
Well, Rodney? You know, I think it brings up a good point that it's not just, I think we always should be empowering our girls. And at the same time, though, I think we should be mindful of our boys. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, having two girls and also having boys, I have a 12-year-old boy, having the girls, you know, makes it more, you know, apparent to think about. But at the same time, you know, those who may not have girls should think about if they have boys, you know, how are your boys looking at including women in the sports or at school? If they want to play football with you, you know, who cares if they're a girl or not? If they're faster than you, they're faster than you. Mm-hmm. We joked that my other daughter, Donovan, at her age, among her peers, she's faster than all the boys. So
how old is she?
She's 10 years old.
Uh-huh.
She's not a hockey player. She's an Irish dancer. But, you know, everyone has to find their own ways to what they want to do, and she does great at that. But she's really fast and faster than the boys at school. And it's just a good example of trying to also train our boys to think differently as well, because I think as much as empowering girls, we also need to be parenting and educating our boys as they're growing up on looking past things like you can't do this because you're a girl, or not picking her because, oh, they're a girl, I'm not sure if they're fast or strong enough because I haven't seen them play. You know, pick them. You might be surprised mm-hmm. that they're going to actually be better than you and any other person on your team. So, you know, just I think it's unfortunate it's out there, though. The incident that we just talked about a little bit ago when she felt like she wasn't getting passed to was a you know, an interesting moment at home because we had a little discussion with her and, you know, had to kind of say, you know, some boys, that's just that is how they're going to be. And how are we going to deal with that? And how do you deal with that? And, you know, just basically had to get to the point where she was comfortable enough with just looking past that and kind of ignoring it. But it's a shame you have to do that at all. So I think it's a discussion that's not only empowering women, but also, again, you know, educating our boys on thinking differently as well. And I think that it's gradually improving, but there's still a lot of work to be done in that area, too.
Yeah, there really is an awful lot of work to be done. When you think about all this, Monica, and that's what I love about this podcast, is really a cross-generational, cross-gender mm-hmm. conversation about these things.
Well, when it came to so I've been watching the boys and the girls and how they play kind of like on their own on the ice. And one of the biggest reasons Fiona stood out a lot is that a lot of the girls come out kind of timid, you know. And I think it has a lot to do with how girls are raised nowadays. You know, they're raised to be a little bit more demure And that's just the way that society has been up until now. And a lot of the girls come out there and they're not ready to bump. They're not ready to go fast. You know, they'll only go as fast as they can stop. Fiona worried about stopping later.
Yeah, she did.
That was not her first priority. And
the boards will stop you, right?
I mean, they have, and I've stopped her once too.
Very seriously.
Yeah. She took my feet out one time.
Whoa.
That was a good one.
Really?
I've seen a lot of girls come out and they'll be kind of shy to get to put themselves in there. They'll be shy to, you know, take on the physical aspect of the sport. And one of the first things that I have everybody do, especially when they come out in full gear, is I have them fall down so that they know that they're armored, they're protected, and that they can be more rough. They can, you know, get in there. They don't have to worry so much about, you know, hurting themselves. They can, you know, enjoy the padding that has been years in the making at this point. Mm-hmm. And Fiona, I never had to tell her to fall down. You know, she knew how to do that already. You know, she was ready to get out. She was ready to fall, and she was ready to learn how to stand back up, and she was ready to... She just wanted to get in there. It was unique from most of the girls. And actually, I think having her out there with some of the other girls has encouraged them to be more
scrappy.
Encouraged
those other girls, right?
Like Grace. Grace was always pretty scrappy, but I think seeing you out there skating hard like you do, I think that made her want to do that also.
See, you're inspiring other girls, mm-hmm. and you're giving them confidence to think, wow, maybe I could play and skate and hit like Fiona. And you're also teaching those boys who never knew a girl who liked to do that and could do that, that they're like, oh, I didn't realize girls could do that, and now you're changing their minds too.
Sometimes as a girl, you got to fight a little harder for it, but mm-hmm. you've seen your progress. The boys not passing to you till you getting picked first by the boys. You did that all on your own.
Yeah.
Right. And you saw even these girls who just won the gold medal in the Olympics, right? Even they had to fight. They had to stand up and fight two men who were not paying them equally, who were not helping to develop their sport equally with what they were doing for the boys. And they had to just, like, Go get it, right? What do you do when nobody's passing you the puck?
I just kind of, like, go for it and try to, like, get it from them to, like, show that I'm, like, on their team and, like, I'm the only person who's like, hey, pass to me.
Right. You can't just ask for it. You got to go get it, right? Mm-hmm. Right. You can ask for it, and if they don't give it to you, then what do you do?
Just go for it.
That's exactly right, Fiona. Right. Well, we could talk on and on. Is there anything else you want to say about this before we wrap up?
I will say one thing. We had asked Fiona once, you know, recently about what do you love most about hockey? And I want her to give that answer one other time because it was pretty profound what she said. So we asked you, what do you like most about hockey, Fiona? What did you say to us?
I can be myself.
Yeah.
You can be yourself. Wow. That's fantastic. What is your advice for any girls who are listening to this podcast, who are maybe about your age, who are thinking they might be interested in hockey? What is your advice to them?
Just go for it, and if you're scared, you can give a little bit more time, because I was scared at first, but I realized that I wasn't scared once I got used to, like, skating on the ice and going fast and stopping. Just go for it if you really feel like you should do it, and just be yourself.
Are you glad you didn't give up when it got hard?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Very glad.
Wow, that is awesome advice. And you know what? I want to ask you one more thing. What kind of coach is Monica?
A very good one.
Aww.
Is she? What's good about her? What's good about her as a coach?
She doesn't give up on kids that are like... I can do this right away, and they can't do it like right away.
They get discouraged, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And she just keeps encouraging them?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But can she be tough too?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Is that why you took her out?
No.
What happened there, Monica?
Oh, I wasn't even teaching her class. I was teaching a different class. I think she was learning her crossovers, and she came around the circle going fast, and she fell, and I was standing there and whoosh, slid my feet right out from underneath me.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Would have been fine if I was wearing gear. I think I should wear gear more often.
Especially around Fiona.
Yeah. Last time we were out there, I was wearing gear, though.
Yeah. Well, congratulations, Fiona. I want to come and watch you play, and I'm fully expecting to watch you compete in the Olympics, okay? And I'll be rooting for you.
Okay.
All right, you go get them.
You're going to get some front row seats for that.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
That'd be great.
And thank you, Dad Rodney Daniels, for just being a great father, you and your wife, and raising great daughters and sons.
Oh, we appreciate it. They make it easy.
Yep. And Monica, my co-host, and thank you, everybody, for listening. This podcast is really all about finding your power and putting it to use, whatever your passion is. And take your advice from Fiona Daniels. And what do we tell them? Just
go for it.
Go for it. Okay, everybody, go power up. Thanks for listening, everybody. I hope you'll subscribe and join me on Twitter and Instagram at Ann Doyle LDR or my website, Ann Doyle Leadership. And remember, power is the currency for getting things done. That's why getting comfortable with power is essential. And you're never too young or too seasoned to start. So let's go power up.